homophobic anti-choice talk show host.
But I am. Doug McBurney, thanks for co-hosting with me.
Nice to be here again, Bob. Bob is nursing a minor case of laryngitis.
Yeah.
And so I'm along just to provide support. And we want to start off by just saying that our thoughts and our prayers go out to the families of those American service members who were killed and injured today in Afghanistan. And hope that all is well with them. I'm sure it's not all is not well. But,
right.
This is the price of the war on terrorism.
Right. For those families, this is the ultimate tragedy, you know, losing someone. But we pray that this time for them could be used by the Lord. If they have family members who are not saved, that when you come face to face with death, that's the time to think about God if you're not a Christian.
That's right. That's right. Now, the number to call, by the way, for the program, Bob Enyart Live, right here on the Information Radio Network, is 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-8-E-N-Y-A-R-T, 800-836-9278 for the alphanumerically challenged. And I don't want to dwell too much on the war on terror today, Bob. I'd rather talk about the culture that's going on right here in America. And I see on the top of your stack of stuff there,
yeah,
a story right out of Denver.
We've got, you know, the governor in Colorado hires people that staff our parole board, our state parole board. Of course, their parole boards are every nook and cranny throughout the state, every town and county, they got their parole boards. But we have our state parole board.
The big one.
And there shouldn't be any such thing as a parole board, but we have them. And the governor hires the parole board members. Well, this one, and by the way, he makes $78,000 a year.
Nice.
Former Republican state lawmaker.
Former Republican?
He was just fired yesterday. Well, he's probably still a Republican.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he's a former Republican state representative.
I was starting to think better of him already. But.
Yeah. Anyway, he was just fired yesterday because the police searched his child pornography. And they've got the specifics of the search warrant in the newspaper. And anyway, it's a pretty ugly story, but that's not news.
No, a parole board member with child porn in his home?
Right.
I'm not shocked.
No, that's not news at all. But this is the part of the story that stood out. This is what stood out. The parole board chairman, Don Van Pelt, he says that this board member who was just fired for child pornography, this guy's name is Harry Schwartz.
Okay.
All right. He says that Schwartz performed his board duties conscientiously.
Conscientiously.
Yeah, and then he gives him an evaluation so that we could all know he really did a good job as a parole board member. And you tell me if this evaluation sounds like it's for a professional involved in criminal justice or for a teenager with his first job at McDonald's.
All right, let's
This is in the Rocky Mountain News. All right, he performed his board duties conscientiously. He was timely and prompt.
Hmm.
He was where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there.
Well, hey, Bob, it's government service. Come on, that's a pretty good evaluation. Probably get a promotion.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
He was
prompt,
timely,
huh?
And prompt. He was where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there.
That's the most important part, when he was supposed to be there.
Right. Yeah. And where? He never showed up at the wrong courthouse.
Right, yeah. He showed up at the right courthouse, the right prison block.
They had board meetings. He knew which building to go to.
Yeah.
He got there on time.
A fine public servant.
He probably was even dressed appropriately.
Probably wore a sharp-looking sport coat.
Is that the ultimate in bureaucracy? that really is. That's what bureaucracy is.
You know what I don't
about.
Understand is what is his boss trying to do here? We've got child porn under the bed in the first paragraph, and then a positive evaluation later down in the story. I guess he's trying to separate the man's personal life from his job performance.
Right.
The old Bill Clinton syndrome.
Well, you know, I've had a story. Doug, you know, as a talk show host, you get stories that you never get to.
Yes.
And
yes.
You got a pile that goes back weeks and months sometimes.
Yeah, I got a
Yeah.
I've got one developing at my home.
I got an article here. Look at this. This was sent to me by a listener from, this is the Indianapolis Star, from August 18th. Now, that's hot off the presses, right? It does happen to be this year, though.
That's good.
That's not too bad. August 18th, and it's about a teacher arrested for indecency. Well, now, I'm not making this up, right? It's a real article.
Okay.
Indianapolis Star, August 18th.
I'm looking at the headline right there.
Okay. And the teacher resigns after arrest for indecency. And they've got a quote here from the principal who says that children have been safe with this teacher, and they would have been safe had he remained in the classroom. But indecent exposure could be considered as an immoral act by some in our community and not appropriate. The principal is saying, you know, unfortunately, the guy, we let him go, but really the kids would have been perfectly safe with a sexual pervert in the classroom, but some of the community might think it's not appropriate. Does that crack me up?
The varying mores of community standards, you know.
This teacher was probably timely and prompt.
Yes, and he was where he was supposed to be, and more importantly, when he was supposed to be there.
That's right.
When the bell rang, he was at his desk.
He never went to the wrong school,
right?
By accident.
Exactly.
He was in the right school.
Yeah, and he was wearing a sharp-looking sport coat, unfortunately. Anyway, I'm not going
to... During spring break,
yeah.
He knew not to go to school.
Exactly. During the Christmas holidays, he stayed home.
All right. So anyway. Doug, we're the warriors in this country in the culture war.
You started out in the culture war. Yeah, and that reminds me is that I'm a little bit hurt today. Because I recently got an email from one of my literally dozens of listeners around the world. I got an email from a negative. I'm on the internet, by the way, KGOV.com. Check it out, the Weekly Worldview. Literally, you can join in with dozens of other people and listen to the program. I got an email from a listener who disagrees with me, but listens regularly. But he told me that I was an American Taliban because I'm a right-wing religious type guy.
Right, we're the Taliban. We're the ones who want to outlaw sexual immorality.
Well, it scared me and it hurt my feelings and it made me wonder if he has a point.
Well, we better get used to it because the media is going to use that against us. In fact, they already have. And because the Taliban outlaws sexual immorality and that's what we want to do as fundamentalist Christians.
Yeah, but before the attacks on September 11th, I did numerous stories from Afghanistan and the Muslim world in general where I praised certain aspects of their criminal justice.
Well, right. Look, adultery is against the law there.
Yeah.
That's good. Praise the Lord. Well, right. Anyway, so now we're going to be the Taliban whenever we say something like this. But in response, what we can say to our detractors is, you know, they tend to be liberals, and liberals think everything should be middle of the road.
Yeah, right. You know? Middle ground.
Right.
Yeah.
Be a moderate.
Moderate. That's their favorite position.
So we say we go for the biblical middle of the road, the moderate position, where the Taliban cover a woman from head to toe.
Right.
And in America, our culture strips a woman and exploits her, putting TV cameras on her when she's...
Yes, they do.
Don't you think there's a middle ground, a middle of the road, where you treat people, you treat women with respect, dignity, modesty, not a Taliban and not Hollywood, but godly?
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today, others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a two-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air. But to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. we offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Benyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to KGOV.com.
It's Bob Benyart Live, right here on the Information Radio Network. The number to call if you want to participate in the program is 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-8-E-N-Y-A-R-T. Give us a holler if you've got something to bring to the table that relates to what we're talking about here. We're talking about the culture war. We're talking about the Taliban. We're talking about a burqa versus a striptease. And that brings a story up that I read today that shocked me. And I'm not shocked very easily.
No.
By the way, I'm looking out here, and with this studio audience, and the Information Radio Network, this is the most listeners I've ever had in my entire life since I was on the steps of the L.A. County Courthouse. And I'm excited. But listen to this
story. We have quite a diverse studio audience today.
We sure do. We've got blondes and brunettes.
Men, women.
Children.
Adults, children.
Yeah.
Teenagers.
Yeah. Black T-shirts, white T-shirts.
Yeah.
It's very perfect. Cool. Very cool. But listen to this. Just what you brought up. A lot of times when I've done stories on the from the Muslim world that relate to criminal justice, I've always been careful to point out that although the Islamic world is correct in some very narrow aspects of their criminal justice system, that they take it to the extreme. And I think you just crystallized that thought. They are the extreme. American liberalism is an extreme. The Bible is the middle of the road.
Well, right, exactly. On this issue, that's exactly right.
Very good. And listen to how extreme it's gotten right here in America. This is from the New York Post, published yesterday. Britney Spears. Do we all know who Britney Spears is? We're all familiar.
She's the tramp who's teaching millions of American teenage girls to become sluts.
Right. But boy, can she lip sync. Let's not take anything away from her.
Okay.
All right. Britney Spears celebrated her 20th birthday yesterday by getting a private dance from a male stripper in front of her parents and her 10-year-old sister.
That's perfect.
That's extreme, if you ask me. I mean, a burqa is extreme, but this is extreme.
Right. There couldn't be anything that would better symbolize what she is about, her family, her life, American culture.
Disgusting. Listen to this. Her whole family is twisted and demented. The belly-bearing slut giggled and blushed her way through the eye-popping striptease routine, and her mother, I said, enjoyed it so much that she playfully squeezed the dancer's biceps and buttocks. That's her mother, for crying out loud.
Hey, Doug, you know how we have movie ratings, G, PG, PG-13, R? And R is for usually movies that have sexual content, nudity.
Right.
Now, what does R mean? What does that mean?
It means restricted.
Restricted so that what?
So
what's the rule?
The rule is no one under 17 is allowed to go in without a parent or a guardian.
So that if everything America's culture does is backwards. If young people want to see sexually explicit movies, they have to watch it with their parents.
I couldn't imagine sitting down and watching something with my mom.
That's,
you know, that's
worse.
Gross.
It's worse. It's worse. I mean, a teenager seeing sexually explicit material is criminal and wrong.
Right.
And destructive. What's worse is to sit down with mom and dad and watch it. That's worse.
That's pretty disgusting.
Right? If you're going to go to I don't even want to make analogies.
Please.
It's just despicable.
Yeah, let's not. I just had the thought flashed through my mind. What if this was playing on videotape, this Britney Spears birthday party, and my mom walked into the room?
Right.
I would be ashamed and embarrassed.
Of course. Well, and
but Britney's mom apparently didn't have much of a problem with the whole thing.
No.
It's really...
Hey, Doug, let's take our first
call.
That's extreme. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In New Jersey, Rob, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, and I have Doug McBurney with me.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Doug.
It's okay if you don't know who I am. I won't be hurt.
Actually, I've seen your picture on the KGOV site.
Oh, yeah. All right, okay. Well, what's up, Rob, in New Jersey?
Not much. I know Bob from a few years back.
Not much in New Jersey? There's a lot going on in New Jersey. You kidding me?
Well, Rob, we met you in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
At a naval base.
Right.
Yes.
You're on a tour of a submarine.
A nuclear sub. I remember very well.
Cool.
By the way, thank you for that honor. Cheryl and I really enjoyed that. It was the highlight of our trip.
She was pregnant at the time.
Yes, and we now have three little ones.
Yeah.
And four big ones. The little ones are cuter than the big ones.
No doubt.
So what's up, Rob?
Well, you know, Bob, I think you're the only person in the world I could talk to about this. And the reason why is because, one, I know that what you think of this subject is the same thing I think of it. It's disgusting. And it ought to be...
What subject is that?
It ought to be criminal.
Right.
But the, you know, it seems like everybody in the, quote, medical profession, they seem to say, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. But I was telling Bob on the break, you know, when I was a child, I was, just to fill you in, Doug, I was sexually abused, to put it mildly.
Very sorry to hear that, Rob.
That's terrible.
And it's caused me an incredible problem throughout my life where I can't function socially with, it's very hard for me to socialize with other men.
Hmm.
I never had my dad around when I was a kid.
Right.
And then these things happened to me, and I've never really been able to, you know, bond, you know, like, with the guys, so to speak.
Right, of course.
And, but it's caused me some really serious other problems.
Mm-hmm.
My marriage, you know, is when Bob, came out to Hawaii at that time, I was married, child. I've been divorced since then, but there's a reason why, and it's so sick, it's so disgusting, you know, I hate myself for it. I've, you know, my own death numerous times because of it.
Rob, you're saying still to this day you hate yourself because of what happened when you were younger?
I hate myself because I feel like a freak. Like, you know, I don't deserve anything because of the sick thoughts I have. Hmm. And I don't want to get into it, but, I mean, to put it mildly, I've never, in any kind of intimacy with a woman, I've never been able to see myself as a man.
Well,
and it's disgusting. And I know what you think of it, and I know what I think of it. Mm-hmm. And but I also know that, you know, I probably wouldn't have these problems.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Child molestation is almost the sacrament in the homosexual community. We have no end of quotes from homosexual activists, authors, leaders, publishers, who defend and brag about and celebrate molestation of children.
How they reproduce.
That's how homosexuals reproduce. That's their primary method, is through molestation of children. And so, Rob, but you did, as you grew up, you did become a Christian, right?
Yes, I am a Christian, Bob.
You became a Christian. How strong are you in your relationship with Christ and your understanding of His Word?
Bob, I think I have a better theological understanding of what the Bible actually means than I'd say 99% of the Christians I've ever met.
Because of all the nicer than God Christians who live on cliches.
The people who don't have a clue, as far as I'm concerned.
The people who would not condemn someone who molests a child.
Right. They would love the sinner, hate the sin.
Yeah, standard type Christianity. And we despise people who molest children because we realize the pain that they put on those, you know, innocent victims. But then there's an entire other aspect of Christianity in the Bible, and that's where the Christianity works itself into your life, into who you are, and you're able to overcome the sins of the world, and regardless of what's going on around you, you can be victorious.
Bob, you know, that's where I've been at with this essentially this problem of mine. I've put it in the hands of God. I've prayed about it so many times.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Hey, it's Doug here. I'd like to ask you a question that a good friend of mine asked me when I was having a struggle with sin in my life.
Okay.
And that the question he asked me was, have you talked to God today?
Right.
Have you talked to him today, Rob?
I haven't prayed yet today.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about praying. I'm talking about talking to God. Just I happened to be driving down the road when this friend of mine asked me this question. And after I got off the phone with him, I turned off the radio, and I just started talking to God, like not really praying and not in a real reverent sense, but talking to God and telling him what was wrong and how can you help me? What's going on with me? Why can't I control myself? What's my problem, God? Just talking to God. And, you know, the Bible teaches us that whenever there's a temptation, whenever a wicked thought enters our mind, that God always provides an escape. And I've found, Rob, that what that escape is to actually call on God at that moment and talk to God, to bring God into that thought process. Instead of letting a wicked thought develop and bubble up in your mind, bring God into that thought process, because that wicked thought and God, they can't coexist in your brain at the same moment. It's very difficult and painful. And if you're willing to talk to God, and if you're willing to let Him into that thought process, a lot of these thoughts that you're having that cause you to hate yourself, they're going to be pushed out of the way by that escape that God provides.
And I've noticed in my life, Rob, that when Paul says in 1 Corinthians that God makes a way of escape, I've noticed I grow in my love for God and my love for those around me, my family and friends, that the temptations of the world become weaker. And I look at things that at times in my life were incredibly seductive. And some of those things today make me sick, just the thought of it, because I now have so much in my life and so much to lose. But Rob, obviously, this is not something we could cover in a segment on a talk show.
Absolutely not. But I wanted to get that off my chest, so to speak. But what I wanted to ask you was, and it's kind of what I guess got me interested in your show to begin with, was, you know, when I first started seeing it on the C Network years ago,
mm-hmm.
You know, you were the first person I'd ever seen who came out and, you know, said, you know, this is sin. You know, these people, there ought to be a death penalty for...
Yeah, child molesters should be
homosexuality,
executed.
Child molesters. And I guess that it really helped me, because I felt like my hatred for these people was justified.
Was valid, and it is valid.
Amen, brother.
Hey, hey, Rob, we're going to a break. During the commercial, I'd like to talk to you, right?
All right.
So I'm going to put you on hold and give out our number. Doug, could you?
All right. It's 800-836-9278 on the Information Radio Network. Give us a call.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them NYARC people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a bag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Flukely Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check that box.
And we're back. It's Bob Inyart live on the Information Radio Network. The number to call if you'd like to participate, don't feel any pressure, but if you'd like to participate, it's 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-INYART to be on the program. And that was a very sobering call from Rob.
Yeah.
And you know what I thought was interesting, Bob? After we went to the break, if folks around the country heard the commercials, you play a string of rather entertaining calls from alcoholics and losers, garden variety sodomites, stuff like that. And I would like to know if there was some cosmic way to know how many of those, there's like 4 or 5 different people there.
Yeah.
How many of those people are saved now?
Wow.
Because some of those calls are a year old, maybe older, you know. And I wonder how many of those. It's amazing as you document the career of Bob Inyart and his ministry, how many people who initially
hate our guts.
Not just hate Bob's show, but they would watch his show with a bottle of vodka and strawberry crush, and they would curse Bob, and they hated him.
Hey, Doug, what's Strawberry Crush?
Well, it's soda pop.
Oh.
Strawberry. I know Orange Crush. We're from Denver,
and
after
vodka,
all.
Vodka. I know what that is. And that was Dylan Klebold's nickname.
Was
Vodka.
Was Vodka. Mm. Really?
Yeah, with the DK capitalized. That was his initials.
Huh.
Anyway, hey, let me just let you and the audience know what Rob told me during the break was that these older males who molested him when he was young, it was a circle of homosexuals in his community, and he says he could easily locate them and find out where they are.
Wow.
And so I'm going to talk to Rob off the air and see if we can help out in that, if he could get some names and town, we might be able to, well, let's say, put up some posters on some telephone poles.
It'd be nice to confront these people.
Yeah, call them up, maybe do a survey, not let them know they're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, do it off the air so it's legal and then play it on the air.
Right, record it and then play it back later.
Aren't our laws so silly, really? So hey, we call them up off the air and maybe get some of these perverts to talk a little.
Yeah.
So anyway, if Rob wants help along those lines, We'll help them.
You know what's sad, Bob? And we were talking earlier about the Taliban. You know what's really sad about the state of Western civilization is that the Taliban would have done the right thing with the guy who assaulted Rob.
Right. They would have killed him.
They would have killed. And that might have given Rob some closure.
Yeah. Well, he said that when he saw our show and we said that these perverts should be killed, they should be executed, he said, finally, my anger and hatred of them was vindicated. I finally found out that the Bible doesn't say you have to forgive them. Forgiveness is not cheap. You don't forgive people who don't repent.
That's right. Man.
God doesn't. He sends them to hell.
That's right. What's hell for? If that's what hell's for. That's because if you don't repent, well, you're not going to get any forgiveness.
That's what hell's for. You can't very well have an empty hell now, can you?
That's right.
Not with all these homos walking.
Yeah, with all the child molesters that have gone down through the ages, there's going to be plenty of, there'll be good attendance there in hell.
I can't believe you even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I got an email about our appearance yesterday, our joint appearance on the Information Radio Network.
Cool.
From a gentleman in Indiana named John.
All right.
He said, "You guys rock." That's how he opened the email.
Nice one.
Yes, that's better than a lot of those callers that we have.
He doesn't even know that you play guitar.
And if he heard me, he would say that I didn't rock. But anyways, he says, "You guys rock. It was fun listening to you play second string for Bob. Have you thought any more about Tonga?"
Tonga.
Tonga. Everyone that's in the audience going, what?
That island paradise in
the island paradise. Tonga is an island that is ruled by a monarch.
A Christian monarch.
A Christian lay preacher.
Let's go. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, I've let my wife know that if Hillary Clinton ever becomes president, we will be serving the Lord from Tonga. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in Tonga if Hillary's the president. And listen, he says, I understand that because a lay preacher with the Free Wesleyan Church and that most of the island's inhabitants are members of the church. He says, I got the idea about Tonga from you on your show, and I'm looking into it. His wife's going to kill me.
Yes, she will. I've got friends in Hawaii now. I've lost track of them. But every year for the king's birthday, they travel to Tonga, and they throw him a birthday party.
Yeah.
They're Christian ministers, and it's a pretty neat place. And we could get them our Christian constitution and really, really whip that country into shape.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the only thing about these Pacific Island nations, everything looks all well and good, but there's just not enough beef. I don't know. It's the food. I don't like to eat anything that has recently swam.
And it's tough. Beef, and there's no air conditioning.
And there's no air conditioning in Tonga.
You don't have to go to Tonga to run out of air conditioning. Just go to Maui.
Yeah? They don't have air conditioning in Maui?
No, Oahu either.
What is it? The environmentalists don't like it?
Or? I don't know. No, now, you know, wealthy people have air conditioning.
Oh.
But we were in Maui, and everywhere it was so hot and humid, and so we wanted to get air conditioning. And there's a Hard Rock Cafe in Maui.
Oh, yeah.
So he said, let's go to the Hard Rock Cafe. They'll have air conditioning. There's no air conditioning.
No air conditioning?
That's when we knew we were in a crisis.
Oh, man. That's terrible. Well, but it's, well,
we're such wimpy Americans.
Compared to the general state of the culture war, I guess lack of air conditioning is
not so bad.
But anyway,
so bad. We survived.
Tonga looks better and better. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe someday. So what do we, you want to hear some interesting news from the war?
Yeah.
Some interesting news from Afghanistan. This is a shocker. Taliban leader Mullah Mohammed Omar has decided to launch a political party. Yeah, as soon as he's not being bombed anymore.
It's a good time.
You know, if he can get a fax machine hooked up in his crater, he's going to launch a political party.
He figures, hey, they're in Bonn, Germany, having appetizers.
Right.
And I'm getting bombed.
Isn't this weird? This is from, United Press International story. This is a legitimate news source. Mohammed Omar is consulting his ministers and senior commanders, the ones that are still alive, I suppose, to convert his militant Taliban movement into a new political party.
that is bizarre. Hey, you know, we may have killed Bin Laden's oldest son today.
Wow.
And his second in command, I guess this is more than just reports. I think this is pretty solid now. His wife, daughters, and son were killed.
Whoa.
So, but he escaped. And that's what's happening, not only in bombing raids, but when parents are immoral, their kids get killed.
Right.
And those that don't get killed almost wish they had been.
So what is that? Is that that old biblical saying that God visits the sins of the father on the son?
That's exactly right. It's not that God did it. It's the natural consequence of being an evil parent. Evil parents destroy their kids.
Hmm.
There's no way around it.
You know, I've heard that Bible verse quoted, and it's always quoted
as though God is punishing. And I'm wondering,
why does the Bible tend to put things in phraseology that can be easily manipulated by people who are against the Bible? What's up with that? Why is that?
Christians don't know the Bible. They don't know the Bible.
It's as if when God wrote the Bible, he wrote things in a way that if you want to use it against him and if you want to be evil,
if you want to misunderstand it,
go right ahead.
Be ignorant,
misunderstand.
If you want to be a fool, a Christian fool, the Bible is there, ready. Jesus Christ is like a street sign that some pranksters intentionally turn the wrong direction.
That's a pretty good analogy.
He's the rope that you need to hang yourself. That's what he is. He's the rock that will grind you into powder.
Wow.
Hey, Doug, you got an instant message here.
I did.
It says, hi, Doug. This is from WTNV.
Hey, WTNV.
Okay, my name is John.
Hi, John.
I'm from Indiana, but I would never open an email like that.
Oh, the one that called me the Taliban?
Yeah, I guess.
I guess. Well, yeah, no, I don't know. I don't open attachments, but if they put it in the text, I'll read it.
All right, and then here's an instant message from Dawn from Arkansas. And she says, how can I listen to the show online?
Unfortunately, at the moment, she'll have to wait.
Dawn, we're not live on the web right now.
Not right at this moment.
But
we're working on technological solutions
to
all of these problems.
You can go to lacie.com, lacie, and tune us in live.
Right, on WHME,
that's right.
Powerhouse Christian station there in South Bend, Indiana.
Notre Dame land.
Yeah.
So, Dawn, go there.
There you go. Lesee.com, LESEA.com. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
You brought up the name of Jesus Christ earlier, and that reminds me that it's the holidays.
It is the holidays.
So after this break, I see that you have a top 10 list.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a top 10 list.
You do.
And they both relate to the holidays.
Okay.
So after this break, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to have the dueling top 10 lists as they relate to the holidays. If you want to call us, there's no pressure, but feel free, 800-836-9278. Write it down.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyart Live are offering the Train Up Child Package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyart rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child rearing delivered by Pastor Benyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
It's Bob Enyart live right here on the Information Radio Network. And, well, we've had an avalanche of calls and instant messages to let us know that we're on so many outlets on the internet, it's not even funny. Not only are we on lesea.com, L-E-S-E-A.com, but we're also on irnnews.com. That's irnnews.com. We're on live. So we're all over. We're ubiquitous, so to speak. We're everywhere. You can't get away from us.
Doug, the instant message for you?
Yeah.
He says, no, I meant I would not read an email that began with the phrase, you guys rock. Good point.
See, that's why it's the brightest audience in the nation.
Good point. We repent.
You guys
all right. Rock. Let me instant message this gal. What is it? Info?
Let's see. It's irnnews.com.
irnnews.com.
Where we're live and happening. Now, we've got the top 10 list. I've got a confession. I did not write this list. This was sent to me by a member of the brightest audience in the nation, probably someone from the Information Radio Network audience. This is not my own handiwork. But mine is, why Bill Clinton hates the holidays.
Okay.
Is it stale to still make fun of Bill Clinton, or is he still a pretty good...
That's all right.
I think he's pretty good. I saw his chubby little face on TV just the other night.
With the red bulbous nose?
The bulbous, yeah, he had everything was bulbous with him.
Why doesn't everyone in the whole country know that if you have a nose like that, that means you're an alcoholic? Why am I the only one that knows that? I mean, obviously other people know it, but why doesn't anybody say it in the media?
Bob, I come from an Irish family. We know that.
Why don't people say it in the media? Why doesn't some news commentator say, and did you see his nose pulsating and glowing?
Well, if he's a drinker, how does he stay up for 16 hours at a time and do all the things that he allegedly... Have you read Barbara Olson's The Final Days?
No.
You got to read that book.
Really?
It's Bill Clinton fiddling while while Al-Qaeda was sharpening their knives. Anyway.
And she died.
And she died in the plane that hit the Pentagon.
Published posthumously.
Unbelievable. The first eight chapters are Republican. It's not that great. But the last three chapters, it's amazing what was going on in the White House the last 2 weeks of the presidency. Believe me, Bubba Bill Jeff was not looking for Osama bin Laden or anything like that.
Oh, right.
Anyway.
He was pardoning cocaine dealers.
Yes, a lot of cocaine dealers. It's amazing how many drug dealers she's got a list.
That he pardoned.
It's amazing.
And when Osama bin Laden bombs our embassies.
1998, Tanzania.
Bill Clinton is in the middle of a sex scandal, and he is almost 100% focused on dealing with that. And that's and not protecting our country or getting revenge on Osama bin Laden. And that's why we conservative right-wing Christians say that our leaders need to be sexually pure so they can't be...
blackmailed for one, or...
Well, or just distracted.
Outright distracted. Right. Outright distracted, looking over his bulbous red nose and not paying attention to what's going on in the world, for crying out loud.
All right, so now the top 10 list you got there.
Yes.
That was inspired by our top 10 list.
Oh, is that right?
Jason Troyer and I put together the top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays. And tomorrow, I've got a saleswoman from the Rocky Mountain News coming to meet Cheryl and I. Our church is signing up an account.
Oh, boy.
An advertising account, and we're going to put our top 10 list in the newspaper if they'll take our money.
Well, we'll just have to see about that.
My guess is they won't do it. They're so tolerant. They believe in diversity. Right. They won't run the list. I bet it. I bet. We'll see.
They don't want money tainted by Christianity.
So how do we do that? So I'll read my list, and you read the inspired list.
I've got the inspired list. Okay.
All right.
All right, start with number 10, I suppose.
Okay, top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays. Reason number 10, Thanksgiving is mass murder for turkeys. All right.
I can see why that's the inspiration. All right. So you want me to do number 10 off my list?
Yeah.
Now, this is a little bit,
Wait. I'll do the whole list, then you do your
okay,
list.
All right.
Okay, 10, Thanksgiving is mass murder for turkeys.
Gobble, gobble.
9, too many SUVs traveling to grandma's house. 8, college bowl games encourage competition. They hate competition. 7, millions of Christmas trees are cut down.
Oh.
6, the pilgrims thought up Thanksgiving, not the Indians.
Woo!
That is funny. That's a funny one. 5, that's one of the ones they won't print.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to go over well.
Guaranteed.
The diverse newsroom over at the Rocky Mountain News.
No. 5, Christmas lights waste electricity. 4, people are giving thanks to who?
Who?
3, the winter lull and global warming hype.
Ah, yes.
That's a pretty good one for the holidays.
That is pretty good.
2, daycare centers are closed. That one's hard-hitting. Because they love daycare.
Oh, it's a sacrament of the liberal church, daycare. Dropping your kids off at daycare is like going up to the offering plate. Yeah, the altar even.
And 1, Christmas is about a birth, not an abortion.
Oh, man.
Now, actually, that's not what...
Bob, you just made that up on the fly. I'm sitting here reading this, and... Bob, that is not going to go over well with our good friends at the Rocky Mountain News.
Which is better?
That's better.
That's better than
that's better than what you had there.
What we have is Christmas celebrates Christ's birth,
which you could almost get away with in the Rocky Mountain News.
But Christmas is about a birth, not an abortion.
Yeah, that's much better.
You think so?
Yeah, it's much better. But Bob, Jesus and Christ and abortion are 3 words that will not go over well with our good friends at the Rocky Mountain News.
That's true. Let me ask our studio audience, which is better, the original line or the second line?
A snap poll reveals.
Second? Everyone says the second.
Everyone except the ones too shy to raise their hands.
Wow.
Said that the second one.
That's pretty intense.
And Bob made that up on the fly. Just, what's it called?
Spontaneous.
Hey,
Doug, before you do your list.
I don't know if I can do this list now.
Let's just tell the audience.
Pales in comparison.
I had to take out an ad in the Rocky Mountain News to hire a radio advertising salesman. And the ad said, we're looking for a guy.
Uh-oh.
Because it's to work at the office.
Right.
And you worked at the office for years.
Yes.
And I'm not going to have a woman at the office because I'm there all day. I'm not going to work in an office with a woman.
No.
Not her and I there alone. That's absurd.
Right.
So the Rocky Mountain News refused to run the ad.
Because you wanted a man.
Yeah. Well, because they approve of adultery, I guess.
Right.
They said it's sexist and they don't allow any gender discriminatory ads.
Right.
So they refused me. And I said it on the air. Uh-huh. The next day, they ran an ad paid for by the state of Colorado looking for a mechanic to operate on heavy equipment. Women only need apply.
Oh, man.
Women only. So I called the dits, the saleswoman, and said, what's with this? This is totally sexist. It said, women only need apply. That's what I wanted to say. And she said, well, that's the government. I said, so what? She said, well, that's the law. They have to do it by law. I said, but their law doesn't change your policy. You don't have to take their ad, you hypocrite feminist piece of trash.
Oh, man.
They just hate men.
Yes.
And they like sexual immorality.
Yes, I'm sure it's rampant there in the newsroom at the Rocky Mountain News.
How many women mechanics work on heavy machinery?
Yeah, I only met a few in the Marine Corps, and they weren't very good at it, frankly.
Okay, so go ahead. You're 10.
All right, top 10 reasons Bill Clinton hates the holidays. 10, after opening a gift from Joycelyn Elders, he discovers that all the condoms in the box are defective. Boo. Yeah, I didn't think that was very good.
Okay. Yeah,
Number nine, when Bill...
That was sort of funny.
9, now I didn't write this, by the way.
Yeah, that's all right.
9, when Bill sits up by the hearth and tries to tell his How I Almost Caught Osama stories, nobody listens.
That's true, too.
8.
And he does.
8, Hillary Clinton and Janet Reno winking at each other across the Christmas dinner table. It just ruins everybody's appetite.
Oh.
7. Postal delays lead to late cocaine delivery. I don't know where he got that one from. I think this guy's been listening to my show.
I think so.
6, at the Hanukkah Cedar. What's
well,
that?
Wait, Doug. We got to tell my audience who might not have heard your show, when all the white powder in the envelopes is getting mailed around the country, Hollywood types really had a crisis.
That's right.
Because they were used to putting it right up their nose.
That's right. On the L.A. local news in L.A., the guy had to come on and say, if you get white powder in the mail, don't snort it. stop right there. Hey. That was on KTLA right there in Los Angeles, the evening news. Anyways, number six, at the Hanukkah Cedar, there's always an empty chair left for Vince Foster.
Ooh.
That's cutting. That's cutting. Number five, Roger and Hugh always get trashed, and then you can't get rid of them.
That's pretty
funny. I'll bet you that's 100% true.
Roger and Hugh. You know, whoever is the author of this, and I know it's one of our listeners.
It's anonymous.
He knows the Clintons pretty well.
He does. He does. Let's see here.
Half the people in the audience don't know who Roger and Hugh are.
Roger Clinton and Hugh Rodham. Big, you can't miss Hugh Rodham. Trust me. Anyway, number four, the reasons why Bill Clinton hates the holidays, another trip to the chiropractor needed from lugging around that 10-pound Bible. You've seen that Bible he carries, right?
The prop.
It's a large Bible.
And you could tell Roger and Bill are brothers. You could see the family resemblance mostly in their nose.
Ah, that's true.
They got that same red bulbous.
Didn't Roger recently have a little brush with the law?
Yeah.
Where he said, "Officer, I'm not drunk. I'm only drinking. Now let me go, man." And they took him to jail, and turns out he was intoxicated.
And remember the video that some DEA agent got?
Classic.
Of Roger Clint snorting coke, bragging about how the feds would never catch him.
"I'm always one step ahead of them, man. I'm always one step ahead."
Yep. That was a funny video.
That was great. Number two. The reasons Bill Clinton hates the holidays, Bill and Hillary could be forced under the mistletoe for some unpleasant contact. Bill likes to avoid that. And the number one reason. No, did you have something to
add? Well, you know, the night of September 11th, George W. Bush and his wife, the Secret Service had to get him up out of bed to bring him downstairs in a bunker because there was another threat.
Right.
And for the first time in a decade, both the president and his wife were in the same house, the same bedroom, same bed. Made their job much easier.
Can you imagine if Bill Clinton would have been the president on September 11th? They wouldn't have been able to find him. Anyways.
Number one.
Number one reason that Bill...
We got it. We got it.
The number one reason even that Bill Clinton hates the holidays, interns get the day off. That's right. Okay. What, did David Letterman write this thing, for crying out loud? Hey, listen to this. Speaking of harboring terrorists, Palestinian Authority have put under house arrest the founder of Hamas. He's under house arrest. That's the definition of harboring a terrorist. They're guarding his house, for crying out loud.
Right.
That's
like Osama bin Laden has been house arrest.
Yeah, put him under house arrest. What is that?
Right.
Anyways.
Hey, Arafat really fears for his political future.
Yeah.
This could be the end.
This could finally be the end, and he is a survivor.
Our church was going to take out an ad in USA Today, Arafat harbors terrorist, but since we don't need to anymore.
No.
Because it's going our way.
But people can go to ArafatHarborsTerrorist.com.
.com.
ArafatHarborsTerrorist.com and send a message off to George W. Bush. Let him know he's doing the right thing.
Just to encourage him.
Just to encourage.
Don't go soft on Arafat.
Keep the ball rolling.
We need some Arafat-free foreign policy.
Amen.
All right, we're out of time. This is Bob Inyart and Doug McBurney.
Reminding you to always do right and risk the consequences. And don't you